This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 47. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, a podcast that helps developers be awesome at launching software products, whether you've built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Rob.
And I'm Mike.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. What's the word this week, Mike?
Hey, you got to hear this. One of the most recent Academy launches that we did, you know how the listeners probably don't necessarily know all of the details of this, so I'll explain a little bit. When people sign up for the Micropreneur Academy, the initial sign-up process walks them through, and after they put their email address in and sign up for their account and everything, they get added to a MailChimp list. Well, what we wanted to do is we wanted to get notified when people were signing up so that we had some idea, instead of having to go into PayPal every time and figure out, you know, who was signed up during the day, we just get an email. Well, the problem with that was that we wanted to make sure that this process was actually happening properly. So I, you know, wired everything up to a cron job so that when, you know, that MailChimp subscription goes through, or after somebody signs up, then, you know, this cron job basically takes their email address and sends it over to MailChimp through their API and registers them. And then they have to do the double opt-in. We should do, because, you know, we don't want to spam people. But the problem is that it started failing. So this cron job runs every 5 minutes, and I started getting an email every 5 minutes because it was failing. And I was out on the road, and I didn't have access to a computer, and I wasn't going to get access to a computer at any time, any, you know, where in the near future. And I was looking at the message, and I could see exactly what was wrong, but I, you know, I'm sitting there working from my phone. So I went out and I downloaded an SSH application, and I paid $10 for this SSH application because the first two or three that I tried did not work for some reason. They just, I don't know, failed miserably. So I said, the heck with it. I'm just going to buy, you know, the $10 application, which had better fixed the issue. I was able to, you know, SSH in, used VI, and fixed this little PHP script that was running, and, you know, everything went back to normal all from my iPhone. It's pretty cool.
That is cool. I've actually done that from my iPad a couple of times. I don't know if I've ever done it from my iPhone, but I've used FTP on the go. I think it's probably $5 or $10 as well. And it just has a, you can SFTP in, obviously, and it just downloads, you know, you can click on a file, it downloads, and it has a little built-in text editor. So much easier to do on the iPad, of course, because you have more room, but you could work it on an iPhone as well and then edit and save it up. And I actually did the same thing. It was within the last week, and all I had was my iPad, and something was going wrong. I don't remember if it was on the Micropreneur side or not, but yeah, that's cool, man. It's nice to, it's like having a computer in your pocket these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought the really funny thing was that if I didn't know how to use VI, I would have been totally screwed.
Yeah, that's right. We could have done Emacs, right? Emacs is built in?
I don't know. I'm not an Emacs person, so
got it.
It wouldn't have made a difference, even if it is.
Well, if you didn't know how to use a VI, certainly you would have known how to use Emacs, right? Because it's an either-or scenario.
Probably.
I'm just kidding.
I have no idea.
Cool. I'm speaking tonight at the 59 Days of Code, which is a little event. Actually, it's a big event here in Fresno. It's kind of the big event here in the Central Valley for startups. And I'm doing the similar talk, kind of a variation of the talk I did at MicroConf. So I'm excited. So I'm going to get out of here in about an hour or two and get some dinner and then head on over there. So that's my news this week. And maybe I'll have, you know, I don't know if it'll get videoed or not. I almost said videotaped. I don't know if it'll get recorded or not. But I'll have a version of this, because I think I did a similar version of it up in Vancouver, and I think they recorded it. So I will link to it in the show notes, you know, when this goes up, if possible.
Cool. Yeah, about the only other thing I've been doing is catching up on email and various odds and ends since the conference, and just trying to get everything all situated so I can get back to work on Audit Shark.
Nice. Boy, about the only other thing I've been working on is, and I don't talk about this much, I'm not sure why, but it's, you know, .NET Invoice, which is like my flagship product, one of the first successes I had. We just launched version 2.7, which integrates with QuickBooks. And it took us so freaking long to get this out. It is ridiculous how hard. It is ridiculous how hard that is. Like, it should not be that hard, you know? It's data, right? It's like text. You should be able to import it in and out, but it was so painful. I don't even want to go into it. Typically, we release 2 to 3 times a year. new versions of .NET Invoice, and this we haven't released for a long, long time. We haven't released for well over a year, and it's painful. So we're very pleased to have that out, and we just released it to some folks last week, and then we're releasing it to more today, and then kind of trying to space out the release because it is a complex app. So
for when things go wrong and your support staff breaks down.
Exactly. So, you know, we really want to be able to handle all the issues in case they come up. So anyways, yeah, just, I don't know, that's kind of been a big milestone that we've been shooting for quite some time. So it feels good to have it out the door and be ready to move on to the next features, because, man, you've been doing something for a year, 15 months, and it just, you bog down in it. You forget kind of the bigger picture of this is supposed to be fun. Speaking of fun, I talked Mike into doing this episode, and he said, no, we're not doing this episode. Basically, the disclaimer he forced me to say is that if you want to get anything productive or actionable out of this episode, then turn it off now, because the title of this episode is Movies for Nerds. And I had just gone through several of kind of the techie, nerdy movies, some startup documentaries and such, because I was pulling scenes out for some of the talks I was doing. And I realized, you know, a lot of people don't know about these movies. I was surprised, because to me, I enjoy films, and I like startup and entrepreneur stuff. And so anything in that genre, you know, those two things crossing, I've always followed them. And so when I did a couple of my talks, and I would say, you know, this clip is from the movie Startup.com. Have you ever heard of it? And like one person out of 20 would have heard of it. So I just kind of wanted to share the love, and if people out there are interested in seeing some .com booms and busts on film, then we're going to talk about it. So, and then Mike hasn't seen any of these, which is funny, but so he has all kind of the sci-fi stuff, and I haven't watched sci-fi in several years. So hopefully we get a good smattering of both sides to keep everyone happy.
Thanks for the disclaimer, because this is totally Rob's fault if you hate the episode.
But if you love it, post a comment that you love it. So the first movie that I want to mention, so basically the idea here is that these are movies that we think our audience would be interested in watching. That's really it. It's like there's some of them are about startups, some are not, and some are about technology, and some are sci-fi. And so it's just kind of like things that we think you guys would like if you have similar taste to us, which is kind of that geek taste. So first movie that I watched, and I was impressed with this movie, even though the many factual inaccuracies were in that, The Social Network, story of Facebook. Did you see it, Mike?
I did not, but it's actually one that I want to see. Yeah, I've talked to a few different people who've seen it, and they said that it was really good, and I'd like to see it. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
It is. It's really well made. Aaron Sorkin wrote it. He had written The West Wing and The American President and a bunch of other stuff. He's just a fantastic writer. So the script is engaging. The budget was there. You know, it's just super well constructed. Tremendous, from what I understand, tremendous factual inaccuracies, and just kind of, you know, it's a dramatization of a bunch of stuff. It's based on a book that was really half made up, or at least half of the scenes are kind of made up based on the guy, Ben Mezrich is the author of this book. And he said in the book, like, there's a lot of dialogue in here that I'm insinuating because no one else was there. It was like two people in a room. And so I'm just guessing what they said. And so it's like, you can't really take everything as fact. But with that said, it was super entertaining.
Yeah. Why didn't they just ask Noah what they said?
Yeah, seriously.
You weren't there.
he wasn't there, but he was employee number 30. Noah Kagan is who Mike's talking about. He was like employee number 30, I think he said. Anyways, yeah, this was it. It was a good film.
Cool.
Check it out.
As Rob said, every single one of mine, you're not going to learn anything from. Most of the ones that he's going to talk about, I just haven't seen before. You know, and it's not that I haven't been interested in them. I just really haven't had time to dig into them. And they're certainly not things that my wife would be interested in at all. So, but the one that I've got on my list was the Battlestar Galactica series. And I actually did not watch this until about a year and a half, probably 2 years ago, something like that. And I started watching it on Netflix, and then I got traveling quite a bit. So I bought the second, third, and fourth seasons off of iTunes. And I really liked it. I thought it was pretty well done. The story was interesting, and, you know, it kind of went back and forth a little bit where, you know, you weren't really sure if, you know, where it was going or whether you were going to stay interested in or not. But I thought that the plot was very well done, and there were a lot of decent twists in it. I think you said that you haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, but the entire run, all episodes of all seasons, is on Netflix streaming.
And oh,
so, yeah, it is on streaming. Yep. So I've watched the first episode only. See, the problem is since my wife probably won't like it, I'm never going to have time to watch this much TV, you know? So I got through one like a month ago, and then I just haven't had another night where she's not here, you know? It's like, so, but I've heard really good things about it. And I actually heard from some folks who aren't sci-fi fans, and they said the story itself was good enough to maintain it. But would you think, having watched a bunch of it, would you think like your wife would watch it, or no? Is it purely a sci-fi thing?
I think it'd be a toss-up. I think that my wife might be interested in it. I mean, she did watch a few episodes with me, but I just happened to be on the road, and she wasn't necessarily so involved in it that she said, I absolutely have to watch this. She was kind of, she's like, well, I could take it or leave it. But she also watches General Hospital, so.
Right. Well, cool. For my second pick, I have two movies that are very similar. One is called E-Dreams, and the other is called Startup.com. And both of them are documentaries of dot-com booms and busts. So eDreams follows Kozmo.com. It was Kozmo.com. And they were trying to do like a local delivery service. So it was like Amazon within 30 minutes is the idea.
Sounds like Webvan.
Online, no, but it was an online convenience store. It was snacks, videotapes, books, a bunch of stuff. And it was 30-minute delivery. Like Webvan was groceries, and it was like next day or you'd schedule delivery. But the idea behind this was it was like bicycle messengers in cities. And so they raised like a gazillion dollars. I mean, it was like 10 million or something, 20 million. I mean, a lot of money. And they went from 10 employees to 3,000 employees in 11 cities.
Oh my God.
It's insane, dude. So the cool part is it's kind of a low budget documentary. It was a dude with an HD cam that followed him around for 2 or 3 years. It's a crazy story. You know, it's totally worth 90 minutes. I mean, it's not like when you watch The Social Network, it's a really entertaining drama that appeals to a lot of people. When you watch E-Dreams, like my wife can't stand it because it's all about like riding this wave of the company and just seeing the crazy stuff they're doing. And if you don't kind of get like the VC and how that works and the IPO and what they're trying to do, then it doesn't make sense to you. So it's just a fascinating tale. I mean, you know, I'm a self-funded bootstrapper. Like I've never gone for VC and I don't know that I ever will, but still watching this happen and then watching the bust is fascinating. So that's it. So yeah, it like follows them from, I think it's like 98 or 99 until like late 2000 or early 2001. So it kind of follows the rise and fall. And then the other one that does the same story basically is called Startup.com, and it follows a company called GovWorks who did the same thing. Boy, I think they raised 30 or 40 million and they were going to try to build like local and city governments online. They were trying to give them portals to have people pay parking tickets and do stuff. And it's almost the same story. You know, you just kind of watch it and cringe the whole time at the kind of the ridiculousness of that time is what it is. They say stuff that's ridiculous, but it's like, that's what everyone was saying, you know, just about like, it's never going to end. The internet is the biggest thing ever. We'll make this money back in a week, you know, the 50 million or whatever. So yeah, it's a trip.
Interesting.
Now, as an interesting thing, Amazon is now, like I just heard yesterday, that they're going to test market. It's called Amazon Fresh, and it's basically groceries and like fresh groceries and produce and sandwiches and stuff like that that you can order. And I think it's delivered same day from them, and they're going to test market it in Seattle. So, but with them, it's like they'll either make it work and scale or they'll shut it down. I mean, they're not going to go to 3,000 employees and then go bankrupt. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny because I used to work at Wegmans Food Markets in upstate New York, and they, about the same time that, you know, Webvan was doing their thing, or shortly, you know, around that time or shortly after, they started doing online grocery shopping as well. And believe it or not, I was involved in that project, and believe it or not, it actually worked out pretty well for them. And the funny part is they shut it down, and the reason they shut it down was because the feedback they got from their customers was, we like shopping at your store, which I just found bizarre, you know, because everything was going well. All the numbers were there. I mean, they shared them with us and, you know, average store orders were up and everything else. I mean, it was a great success story. And they said, you know, you have to shut it down because our customers say that they like shopping at the store better. And it wasn't because they didn't like the service. You know, there were certainly people who, you know, really liked the service. And, you know, obviously, it was kind of mixed.
Sure.
There were some people who said, you know, we really want the service or need it, because you could order your groceries online and then you just drive to the store and you pick them up. You didn't actually have to walk through the store.
Right.
And people liked walking through the store.
That's interesting. So. Yeah, I mean, there's still, like, grocery delivery is not actually that revolutionary. I mean, they're in Boston. No. Even when I lived there, what, 2 years ago, they had, I think Peapod was still around. Yep. Yeah, and they, I mean, we used to get some groceries delivered now and again, but it is different than going to the store and picking your own stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Well, the nice thing about the way Wegmans was doing it was because they're kind of an upscale grocery store, to be perfectly honest. And anyone who's ever been to a Wegmans knows exactly what I'm talking about. And anyone who hasn't has not a clue. You know, they did really well. I mean, the employees who work there, like if you go over to the seafood section or the deli or the butcher area, those guys know what they're doing and they know what they're talking about. I mean, they do an extensive amount of training with their employees to make sure that they're going to be good at their jobs and they're going to be helpful for the people who are there. And I mean, honestly, I would trust them to pick out a cut of steak or a particular cut of salmon or whatever than, you know, do it myself.
Sure. So they had the service down. Yeah. And that makes sense that people would want to come there. Cool.
So anyone who has an HBO subscription is going to probably know this one, but Game of Thrones, and it just ended. The season finale was actually yesterday, in fact. I was just reading up on it in the past couple of days, and I found out that HBO had signed up for the second season, I think within like a couple of days, either before or after the very first episode had launched. I think it was a couple of days after. Wow. Which is crazy. But I think that the executives were watching it, and it was so incredibly compelling that they wanted more, and they knew immediately before they even got results back. That they knew that they wanted.
They were going to do it. Well, I have to admit, I am jealous, man, because I don't have HBO. And without HBO, like, I tried to go watch it online, and you need an HBO subscription to watch their stuff online. So unless I get cable, which I haven't had for like 7 years, and then add HBO to it. So, you know, I got to pay like, what, $80 a month to get cable and HBO, and then go online to watch it for free. So I guess I'll be waiting for it to be on DVD or Netflix or something. Yep. I'm jealous. It looks awesome.
It's really well done. There's a lot of twists and turns, not a lot of things that I would expect. And you know how you'd ask me if my wife was into Battlestar Galactica, and she could kind of take it or leave it. Game of Thrones, she was hooked from like the very first episode.
It's like, it's fantasy. Is it like Dungeons and Dragons types? It's medieval times, right?
It's sort of medieval times, and it's more about people than it is about, you know, like if you think about like the Dungeons and Dragons genre, that's more of like swords and fantasy and dragons and, right. And magic. Okay. And there's a lot of those, you know, magical overtones in most of those genres and settings. And in this one, they're there, but they really, really take a backseat to like the entire, to the story itself. So
yeah,
like
that's typical HBO stuff. They have like great period pieces, and they're set in a great time, but it's all about the characters, right? All about the story.
Right. But like right up until, I guess, probably the last, it was 10 episodes long, and each of them was, you know, about an hour long. And I would say I didn't see even like an inkling of real, what I would call quote unquote magic, until like the very last episode. There was like a very, very tiny bit in the very first episode, and then maybe, you know, just 30 seconds or something like that, and a couple of others, but that was it. I mean, the vast majority of it was on the characters, and it was more about like the medieval type setting versus, you know, the mystical or magical setting that would be associated with it.
Sure. Now that makes sense.
But the books, there's I think 5 books, and they're all written by the same author. They're all monstrous books. I've seen them in the bookstore. I mean, they're just huge. So it makes sense that it's like 10 hours for each of these books. But the story was really, really good.
Cool. Well, my number 3 is Pirates of the Silicon Valley. And it was like a made-for-TV movie. I think it was TBS made this. And it's basically the story of how Steve Jobs founded Apple and Bill Gates founded Microsoft, and kind of how they went back and forth in their relationship and how the two companies grew. And so it was made in, you know, of course, I had the DVD, which was released in 2005. Oh, it says it was made in 99 is what it says, but it didn't really make mention of the internet. So anyways, Noah Wiley plays Steve Jobs. And the thing itself, like the script is a bit trite. It's semi-low budget, but it's a very interesting look at this time, and it takes a lot of stories out of other material. So like if you read I Was, which is, you know, Steve Wozniak's mm-hmm. biography, or if you listen to Paul Allen's biography just released, it was in the last couple of months, called Idea Man, there's a ton of stuff from those two that are in this film. You know, even though the film predates them, obviously these stories have been floating around for years. You know, it's like 90 minutes, and you can, I mean, it's $16 for the DVD on Amazon, or you can get it on Netflix, not streaming, but get the DVDs. It's a cool, entertaining, kind of cheesy look at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're into that, it's all about, like, for me, watching it is all about kind of riding the startup roller coaster with them and just seeing as they go from the garage to the small building to the IPO where they become multimillionaires at the age of 25. It's like, it's a cool tale of how they do it.
I've often wondered about that sort of thing. What kind of drives them after they've done that IPO and they're worth millions or billions, and what somebody like that would set for their future goals?
They're definitely not in it for the money, because if that was it, I mean, I think most entrepreneurs are not in it for the money. So it's all about, like, beating, at least the way it's portrayed in this film, it's like beating the other guy. You know, it's like being the most dominant and building this company that kind of stomps all the others. And there's some good lines from this movie that you'll remember. Things like, what is it? Good artists copy, great artists steal. Something like that. And that's a famous, like, Steve Jobs line, but they made it in the movie. Because they both ripped off the GUI from Xerox PARC and the Palo Alto Research Center. Then, you know, Steve Jobs implemented it first with the Macintosh, and then Bill Gates takes it with Windows 95, and they get in this big argument. And I don't know, there's obviously these scenes are all dramatized too, but it still is, it's an interesting romp through the history of these companies. Now, what I'd like to see is some more recent tales, because we kind of know the history really well, the internals of Apple and Microsoft. I feel like I kind of know how it all worked up until maybe the late 90s, and then it kind of goes dark, right? We don't really know what went on inside those companies after that. No one's really come out and done a tell-all. There's an awesome book about Google that came out called In the Plex, and Stephen Levy was in there. He's, you know, been inside Google for years. He's kind of a reporter, and he spends a lot of time with them. And I'm listening to it right now. It's fantastic. And so it really tells the story behind a lot of things, not just the public versions. And I'd love to see that for both Apple and Microsoft for the last 10 years. I'd be interested, mm-hmm. interested in seeing it.
Now, did you say that? Is that a book or is that a movie?
In the Plex is a book. Plex. Yep. But I it's on Audible as well, so I'm listening to it.
Got it.
Yeah, highly recommend In the Plex.
I'd heard of it, but I hadn't yeah. seen it. I wasn't sure whether it was a book or a movie. So the next one that I have is not a movie that I would recommend to anyone.
Wait, what?
So I saw this on iTunes for $5. So I'm like, what the heck? Because I hadn't seen it, and, you know, I'd heard it was very, I can't even think of the word to describe it. You know, campy, maybe. I downloaded Starship Troopers. And this has got to be one of the worst movies
around.
I've seen.
even at $5, you way overpaid.
Oh, totally, totally. I understand that, you know, movies, especially the ones I talked about before. I mean, I guess those were more TV series than anything else. But movies are about a certain amount of suspension of disbelief. But this movie just goes over the top. I mean, you've got a movie where you've got the humans that are presumably set in the future. And in order to get citizenship, you have to serve in the army. And these people have mastered things like psychic abilities and laser guns and space travel. But they haven't figured out how to build a tank. There's not one tank in the entire movie, and they're sending hordes and hordes of humans, like, after these giant bug creatures. I mean, I swear to God, it reminded me of StarCraft. It really did. Like the Terrans and the Zerg. That's exactly what this movie was. And it was just ridiculous. Like, there's not one tank in the entire movie.
So the moral of the story, if something's $5 on iTunes, it probably should be. Skip it. Well, cool. My fourth and last is actually another two movies that are related. And these are also documentaries. And the one is called Triumph of the Nerds. And the other one's called Nerds 2.0.1, A Brief History of the Internet. And these were made or produced by Robert X. Cringely, who's a columnist, was it PC World, I think, for years. And then he was blogging at PBS.org. And he produced these through PBS. So they were PBS documentaries. And they're really good. They're early computing history. Or I'd say early. It's more like Silicon Valley computing history. So Triumph of the Nerds is about, it's like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and, gosh, what, it's like Novell and Adobe. And he based a book on it called Accidental Empires that is fantastic. And I've read Accidental Empires 3 or 4 times, and it's just awesome to see kind of all the companies that we know today that are massive kind of all came up, you know, around that time. And he talks about how they all interplayed and had like founders and co-founders, and people would leave one and start the next. And it's really interesting. So that's a neat series. And then the Nerds 2.0.1, A Brief History of the Internet, is obviously about, you know, the internet getting started, but it ends in like 98. And so it has like Excite and Alta Vista. And that, you know, those guys are like the premier things they're looking at, because those are the big search engines then. So these are, I mean, they're a little dated. And again, I wish someone would do this again in like 2011, do another series like this, because I'm always fascinated to see how these startups come about and see the more inside picture. And maybe that's what we get with blog. Maybe we get that every day now. And so no one can make a movie anymore. Maybe blogs tell too much of the story, and back then it was just a little more opaque. But in any case, if you're into this, you know, part of technology and this and startup culture, definitely recommend both of these.
Cool. So my last one, I actually thought of another one while we were talking, but my next to last one is the Family Guy Star Wars trilogy. And if you're a fan of Star Wars at all and you like Family Guy, you have to see this. I mean, it's just hilarious. I mean, it tracks the entire Star Wars, the real series, not the new one that came out that's supposed to be good. It tracks episodes 4, 5, and 6, and they're obviously a little bit shorter, but they basically just follow the characters the entire story, but they basically put different words in their mouths the entire time. To give you an example, the very beginning of the first one, if you'll remember when C-3PO and R2 are being jettisoned off of that, I think it was like a Corellian cruiser or something like that, and the gunner starts to shoot at him, or is about to, and the guy says, "Oh, hold your fire." Well, they go through that scene in the Family Guy, and the guy looks at him and says, "What are we, like, conserving battery power now? What the heck?"
So, nice. So it's like a comical look at
it's stuff. A very comical look on everything.
Mocking the script and stuff. Yes.
Yep. Mocks the script the entire way. Nice. So it's very, very well done, though.
Cool. So I haven't seen it. So that's good. Is that available on Netflix or anything?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. I got it through iTunes.
Okay. For our last one, what do you have?
Office Space.
Nice.
A cult classic. This one is the one that kind of inspired me to start my own business. Yeah. In sort of a way. I mean, it wasn't the only factor, but it was certainly one of the contributing factors. I didn't want to end up like those guys.
Yeah, I agree. I remember feeling that way as well, seeing it when they're all in the cubes and everything. I enjoy the PC load letter scene where the printer malfunctioned. PC load letter, what does that mean? Because you've seen that message on printers, and it's like, what does that mean?
Right.
And they beat it up with the bat later. So, well, very cool. Just as we promised, we offered no actionable advice and nothing to help build your business today, but
the actionable advice is to not watch Starship Troopers.
Yeah, exactly. Mike just saved you 2 hours of your life. Mm-hmm. So,
although I hear the book is good. I'm not sure of that. I hear that the book is actually decent.
Interesting.
But that was told to me by a friend who's, I think he's like a sergeant in the Marines. He actually does a lot of recruiting for them. But he said that that's one of the books on their list of reading material that they tell people, oh, you know, these are some books that you might want to consider reading before you come in and actually join the Marines. Because it actually says that what I was told was that the book concentrates a lot on leadership and how to react under pressure and under, you know, uncertain circumstances. So from that perspective, maybe I could see it. But the movie, just plain awful.
Well, so you're doing the outline for the next show. So I think we got to give people really high-end stuff to make up for this one. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Really actionable stuff, step by step. We'll make it up to you, we promise.
So I think that about wraps it up. If you have a question or comment, you can not call it. Are we calling into the voicemail number yet or no?
You know, I haven't canceled the voicemail number. And since it's $2 a month, I don't know if I'm going to find it. I think I lost the login to it.
Well, the voicemail number is 888-801-9690. Or you can email it to us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt. Well, look what you did to me. You made me stupid with this episode.
It's true. We lowered everyone's IQ who listened to this.
Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. And a full transcript of this podcast will be available at our website, startupsfortherestofus.com.
Hey, we got another review in iTunes.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
J. Ray 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 on June 16th. So that was about 5 days ago. Thanks, guys. You do a great job with this podcast. Awesome.
So that's about it. And if you feel inclined, please write any more reviews that you can. We really do appreciate it. And thanks for listening. And we will see you next time.